Now, amongst these untouchable communities, there was one in particular with which we're concerned tonight, one with which I've been very much concerned during my time in India, and they are called the Mahars. The Mahars are one of the ex-untouchable communities of the state of Maharashtra, mainly of the state of Maharashtra. India consists of some dozen or so quite large states, most of them bigger in extent than the United Kingdom itself. And Maharashtra is one of these. It's situated in the Deccan, as it's called, which is sort of South India, or getting towards South India. And it stretches from, one might say, Bombay in the west, Bombay being the capital of Maharashtra state now, to Nagpur in the east and beyond, Nagpur being practically in the middle of India. So you can see it's sort of southwestern India, in which we find this state of Maharashtra. The population, incidentally, is a little bit less than the population of the United Kingdom, though the area is greater. So we find these Mahar people mainly in the Maharashtra state. And they were originally scattered among the different villages. Maharashtra state, like the rest of India, consisted mainly of village communities with just a few very big cities, Bombay, Nagpur, Sholapur, and so on. So these communities of Mahars, along with other, you know, very much smaller ex-untouchable communities, they lived near the caste Hindu villages, and, you know, they carried out the sort of duties that I've described. In Maharashtra, one might say, perhaps their position was even worse than it was in many other parts of India, even right down to the present day. Within living memory, their condition has been very, very bad indeed. For instance, they weren't allowed to go through the Hindu village at certain times of day when their shadow might fall on other people. This is within living memory. They had to carry a spittoon hung around their neck to spit into. Indians always spitting, you probably know. So, because they weren't supposed to spit on the wayside in case a caste Hindu foot stepped on it. And they were also supposed to carry a small broom with which they swept their steps, or the imprint of their steps behind them, so that no trace of their passage should be left. But all these practices and customs were enforced within living memory, within the memory of older people among this community. And of course they subsisted on cast-off clothing, leftovers of food, and had no rights at all. You may be interested to know that in India, some of our Indian order members, some of our older Indian order members, remember as small children experiencing this system of being sent by their parents to the caste Hindu houses for the scraps of food and the, you know, the caste of clothing, which was all that they were entitled to in the way of wages, apart from the bodies of the carcasses of the, you know, the dead animals that they removed. They were entitled to those. They were entitled to the skin and to the bones, but that's all. So this was their plight. They had no education. They were not allowed to have access to water, to the village well. I've had my own experience in this connection, travelling among these people years and years ago. When I've been staying with them, they haven't sometimes been able to offer me proper drinking water, but only muddy water from the river, because that's all they were permitted to draw. So I have my own sort of personal experience of these sort of conditions. So the condition of these Maharas was very, very miserable indeed. There were some alleviating factors. Some of them got into the British Army, at least into the East India Company Army. In that way they got a bit of education. But in modern times they produced one very remarkable figure, one very remarkable man, whom they regard nowadays as their emancipator. Before I go on to speak about him, perhaps I should say a bit more about the numbers of the Maharas. Usually, they are, if one takes the Maharashtra state as a whole, the Maharas are about one-tenth of the whole population. But on the whole, they tend not to be sort of congregated together. They usually exist in small communities near the caste Hindu communities for which they do scavenging work. So they're in a minority everywhere, or practically everywhere. So this also conduces to their state of oppression and servitude. the fact that they're in a perpetual minority, and they're in a minority everywhere in the state. Though in modern times, in quite recent times, there has been, of course, a sort of flow of population to the big cities. So we've got quite big ex-Santashpur Mahar communities now in different parts of Bombay, in Pune, in Nagpur, and so on. But the majority of these people, they still live in the villages in the way that I've described, under the conditions that I've described to some extent. So population of Maharashtra is, I think, about 35 to 40 million now, population of that state. So these Mahars form about one-tenth. So there's about nearly 4 million of them in the state of Maharashtra.